This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on this Reaction Monday. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Always get involved with the program by hitting us up on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Thanks to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. On that very fan line, someone asked said that you talked about the trade deadline moves earlier. Seems like the Browns have everything this team needs offensively and defensively, guard, cornerback, or safety. Yeah, that could be a possibility. I don't know how willing they are still to make moves, though. That's the interesting part, is how much are they willing to be sellers in that way? Because Newsom at cornerback is one of those guys that's really intriguing, obviously. I know that people have been looking at, we mentioned Wyatt Teller earlier, who's a Browns lineman. Also, Betonio is one of those names that always comes up as a veteran, savvy guy, you know. Can step in on an offensive line and produce. So that's a possibility. It's we're you know, chugging along just over, what, like 27 hours?
Something like that.
Till trade deadline. So I imagine Nick Cassero and the rest of the front office really plugging at it to make sure that they're ready for the deadline. They did a little bit of work today, but nothing I imagine or I hope that's going to make a big deal for this team, as Jerome Carvin was signed to the practice squad. He is a guard-center kind of combo guy. 24 years old, 6'5", 307, but I can't find a single snap that he's played in this league yet. So
That's not the move we're talking about.
I sure hope not.
Yeah.
Because there is a thought amongst some that it's possible that that might be something that's an indicator where they're just adding another guard to fill that spot on the roster. Maybe not on the 53-man, but to have another guard to go to if you need to, and then it's next man up. That would be very disappointing if that was the case.
It's going to be very interesting to see how they play this, just in terms of the next however many hours, because we've talked about it. I'm firmly convinced they have to do something. I don't think that's it, though.
Okay, so we're keeping an eye out. I hadn't even considered the idea that maybe we could get news today, because, I mean, look, nothing says that you can't make trades before the deadline hits. But it really does feel like if we get news, it'll probably start happening tomorrow. But only God knows. We'll keep our eyes and ears peeled for that. All right. You got your robe. You ready to put that on?
Yeah, man. I got my gavel. Got my robe. I watched about three episodes of The Lincoln Lawyer over the weekend. So
I thought you were going to say Night Court.
I'm good. Or Night Court.
I thought you were going to say People's Court.
People's Court.
People's Court.
Yeah.
Okay. We got some interesting happenings that could possibly have legal bents to them. And so with that being the case, you are now in the court of the honorable, or maybe dishonorable.
Oh, maybe not honorable.
Maybe dishonorable.
Yeah.
If his wife has anything to say
exactly.
about it. Judge John Lopez.
Let's go.
All right. We bring to you the case of Heckler v. Jason Kelce. So Jason Kelce was involved in an incident with an unruly fan who was using homophobic slurs to describe his brother. So he was in Pennsylvania on Saturday for the Big Ten showdown between Ohio State, Penn State, in which Penn State showed their keister once again. And Ohio
State get to that.
Was able to get away with a win 20-13. Social media footage showed Jason Kelce carrying a case of beers as he walked through a crowd near Beaver Stadium, as one would expect.
Yeah.
Several fans asked Kelce for selfies and fist bumps before one fan started heckling Kelce. He was moving. He might have had somewhere to be. He looked like he was walking with purpose. A male fan dressed in a Penn State hoodie unleashed the slurs, the F word, toward Kelsey's family as he trailed behind him, recording him, and said, "Hey, Kelsey, how does it feel that your brother is a bleep for dating Taylor Swift?" Which, first of all, I don't think that's how that word works. Right? Like, I'm not sure if you understand how it mean, what it means or what have you.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works. However, that was what was lobbied at him. In response, one Jason Kelsey turned around, grabbed the fan's phone, and spiked it into the ground as if he was Rob Gronkowski before picking up the phone and continuing to walk. Another video shared on social media showed the unruly fan chasing Kelsey and asking for his cell phone, saying, "Give me my phone," before Kelsey replied to him, "Who's the bleep now?" So he did return. He returned the word, the slur. Honorable, or actually the dishonorable, yeah, John Lopez.
Somewhat Judge John occasionally Lopez. Honorable, occasionally not.
Whose favor do you rule in?
I feel like this was stand your ground. This is a football family version of standing your ground. This is bleep around and find out, isn't it?
Yeah. I would have to imagine so.
Right?
Yeah.
This is exactly what that is. Now, look, you know, we all know, by the way, if you're wondering what word, it was the F word, but not that one. All right?
So, yeah, it's an anti-gay slur.
Yes. Which, you know, maybe he should have had a little more discretion with his retort, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to have to rule in favor of, he actually was somewhat restrained just breaking the dude's phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that dude, you come at my family, my brother, and everything else like that, and chasing, you know, like literally picking a fight almost. I thought that was somewhat restrained. Restrained.
Yeah. That's the thing for me.
Yeah. I had no sympathy for that guy that was doing that, man. None. Like, no, that was ignorant.
Yeah.
Like, dog, why is you doing, you clearly doing this for attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got some
and
attention.
And had the camera going.
Yeah. So my favorite phrase is play stupid games, win stupid prize. Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah. That is right.
Yeah.
And one of the things that about this for me is that it felt emblematic of a larger issue that we have with folks just feeling like they can run up and accost folks. And I know a lot of this has also been further pushed by dudes doing social media, and not just dudes, but it feels like a lot of them is dudes.
Yeah.
But folks doing social media type things where they're doing pranks or something at other people's expense, or just like trolling folks to get the reaction and then record it. Hey, man, I felt like there was a time in America, not that I am being full Joe Mazzulla, where that lesson of, hey, you're not supposed to just be running up and accosting people was taught by you getting tapped on your chin, right? Like, but people seem to have no fear of that happening. And so, yeah, if he had tapped him on the chin, I'd have been like, that's kind of what typically happens to teach you the lesson that you don't just go up accosting people out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before we even get to the idea of like him, you know, bashing his family or whatever. Just like, get out that man's face in the first place.
And I'm with you. Like, what did Taylor Swift have to do with anything here? Like, that's his brother. Yeah. You know,
he just wanted to rise out of him.
I think this is, to me, Figgy, this was also like someone who wanted to sue someone. Like, he wanted Jason Kelsey to punch him.
It was bait.
He was baiting him.
Yeah. And a special F off to TMZ, by the way, for tweeting this headline. New graphic video shows Jason Kelsey using the F slur multiple times in rage. Click here to read more.
Yeah, what was the circumstance?
Yeah, so I'm glad the community notes pretty much got on him about that headline.
Yeah, so case closed. He it was a stand your ground football essence, kind of stand your ground.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
And on top of that, this is a great point that comes in on the text line, or the 5 Hour Energy fan line, I should say. Dude is a Hall of Fame NFL lineman, which is basically a professional bear wrestler. That's a good point. Like, why are you out here antagonizing him? Like, I believe that you and the decorum that you believe you have to have by being a public celebrity.
Some people are nuts, man.
They're not only nuts, but I think he wanted a 6-figure settlement and was willing to sacrifice his jaw.
Thankfully for him, all he has to do is buy another maybe $1,000 phone. Mm-hmm. That's probably about it. All right.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We move on to the next case. The case of Joel Embiid versus columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
In this case, Joel Embiid was involved in an altercation with a Philadelphia columnist in the locker room after the Sixers lost to the Memphis Grizzlies on Saturday night, apparently shouting at the journalist and eventually pushing him.
Yeah.
The Sixers said that they were aware of the incident and what have you. So the journalist or the columnist, Marcus Hayes, has a column for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And in his most recent column, he mentioned Joel Embiid's son and late brother. So his son is named after his late brother, Arthur. And he mentioned them while questioning Embiid's professionalism. Basically, to make it short, the piece that I saw was like, Joel says that he plays for his brother, his late brother, and his son. But if he wants, like, if he was really giving the right effort, that they want, so on and so forth, right? Basically, using that as a cudgel in a way. Joel Embiid took great offense to this. Apparently, as soon as reporters entered the locker room, Joel Embiid stood and confronted Hayes, saying, the next time you bring up my dead brother and my son again, you're going to see what I'm going to do to you. And I'm going to have to live with the consequences. He said, that's not... Apparently, Hayes offered an apology, to which Embiid responded, that's not the effing first time.
Yeah.
And eventually actually pushed him. PR people for the Sixers apparently then went to reporters and tried to get them to not publish this.
Mm-hmm.
At which point Embiid yelled out, they can do whatever they want. I don't give a bleep.
Yeah.
So with all of this being the case, who is in the right or the wrong here? Is it Joel Embiid physically pushing a reporter, a columnist, and confronting them? Or is it the columnist himself?
All right, so this is a complicated one, right?
Ooh.
This is a complicated one. I think that columnist was way over the line. Like, way, way, way over the line. Certainly, you know, his right to write whatever he wants. But I think this is a reflection of, like, being affected by what you're seeing on social media, where there are no filters and people can say whatever they want. And he just sort of felt like, oh, I can say that in a column. No, you can't. Like, there are lines. There are lines that you should not cross. And to connect his brother and his kid to his play, over the line. That is absolutely over the line. And he should have known better, but I think he got swept up in, like, well, they say this on social media, so I can say it in a column. No, you are a paper of record. You are a news outlet of record. You got to hold yourself to a higher standard. There's other ways to talk about Joel Embiid's play, you know, than bringing that up. So he is at fault there. The one thing that Embiid should never, he should have absolutely, if he felt like it, confronted him. He said, this is over the line.
That's the old newspaper rule anyways. Yeah. You write something about him, you show up in the locker
room. The next day.
Yeah.
Show up the next day. You know, talk it out, have a disagreement, reach an agreement, an accord, or whatever you want to call it, but just don't put your hands on someone. So that's where Embiid was, that's where, because he wasn't challenging him physically. He was just a moron for writing that. So that's where Embiid maybe crossed the line as well.
A small thing, because I think you covered it well, a small thing within this as well. It's kind of amazing how matter-of-factly and how almost as like a side detail it has been put out there that the Sixers PR has tried to stop that story from getting out there. I'm like, wait, hold on.
You can't do that.
We're going to just pretend like that's commonplace, which is a shame because it feels like maybe that is more commonplace than we care to give it credit for. But yes, all the way around. I immediately was like, yeah, Joel Embiid, I understand the fire and the passion there.
The worst of them all, I'm glad you brought it up, was the Sixers PR staff. Like
Worst, really?
Well, because
I thought the editors should have played in here.
Oh,
right?
No, like, for sure. The editors should have corrected him. But what I'm saying is to go there when the locker room, once you allow the media in, is on the record. So you can't say, it's on the record once the locker room is open and you're opening, you're having these discussions and interviews and such. So to say, can y'all not print that? That's just dumb. But this was, I'm embarrassed for the columnist, Marcus Hayes. Should have known better. Should have never gone there and written that. So this is going to be a complex judgment here. I think we're going to put Joel Embiid on probation for putting his hands on that guy, but we are certainly let's say, sensitive to why he did it.
So is it a mistrial, the 832S?
Not a mistrial. I think it's just a lesser penalty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give Joel a fine.
Yeah, give him a fine, a little probation.
Yeah, community work or something like that.
Yeah, a little ankle bracelet.
Yeah. All right, well, that's a lot. That's pretty far.
I don't know about the ankle bracelet, but yeah. Have him do like maybe 24 hours of community service.
All right, we'll go there. Yeah, we'll do
like
that. How do you feel about this? Because you're in the same vein.
Yeah, I was amazed that the story got published.
You can't write that, man.
Like, as an individual, you got it. But I think also this points to the devolution of our media space, because I do wonder if there was a specific sports editors are supposed to know kind of the rules, mm-hmm. right? I wonder if this went to a general news editor, like just a general editor desk, because you know companies are really consolidating where they're like, we don't need specialized editors. Yeah. But you do in this moment. Because I think a regular editor is like, okay, all of this looks fine.
No.
It's composed well enough and there's not typos or whatever. Fine, send it off.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody should have been another level of, hey, recognize that getting after people's family is a bridge too far. That's something that we have long held as something you're not supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my thing is, if you brave enough to feel like you can write something like that, you got to stand tall, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be ready just in case somebody come at you.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I never attack anybody personally on social media, because they'll catch you off guard, mm-hmm. man. They'll step to you, man. And you can't get mad at how they react.
Yeah.
But I don't think Joel should react that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't control people, man. Like, watch what you say.
Exactly. Yeah.
There you go. The court of the dishonorable John Lopez, Judge John Lopez, is now out of session. Thank you for joining us here on the In the Loop Court on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including an accolade for now free agent Alex Bregman. What will that affect? And we'll talk about some other things next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.